Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. House Speaker Tom Tillis announced this week the creation of a special commission to investigate fraud in the state's unemployment insurance system, though there's never been evidence of widespread fraud and abuse. It's the latest indication that Republicans want to make major changes in the way the state administers unemployment assistance that could have significant impacts on people who are looking for work. Joining us now to talk about it is Bill Rowe with the North Carolina Justice Center. Well, Bill, thanks for being back with us on News and Views.
Thanks. Good to be here.
A lot to talk about in the world of unemployment insurance and workers, but let's start with the news of this past week. House Speaker Tillis announced he was creating a commission to look at fraud in the unemployment insurance system. What's your reaction to that announcement?
It's a little disconcerting because there's probably greater issues facing the state with so many hundreds of thousands of people out of work and trying to get back to work and unemployment benefits running out for them. And the data that we've seen is that there isn't a huge issue regarding fraud. And that's not to say that fraud is okay and you shouldn't focus on fraud, but there are laws on the books. We welcome an investigation to see how we might do a better job of making sure no one receives unemployment fraudulently. But we also hope there'll be a look at what employers do. And there's some fraud that goes on that side where either taxes are not paid or employees are misdesignated as what's called an independent contractor, meaning they're not eligible for unemployment benefits. So we're hoping it'll be a view from both sides of employer-employee, but that what we really need to keep our eye on is that we need an unemployment insurance system that's funded properly and can provide benefits for the future. There's no question that fraud has not played any part, whatever amount of fraud there has been, in the problems we have with our unemployment insurance trust fund, which is bankrupt and in debt to the federal government of over $2.5 billion.
Well, let's talk about that. How did we get there?
I think you can trace it back to probably the mid to early 90s, and there were tremendous tax cuts given to employers on unemployment insurance taxes. Estimates are somewhere over $1 billion to $1.5 billion were taken out of the system. And that was contrary to what the system ought to be set up to be, which is what's called a forward-financed unemployment insurance trust fund, meaning that in good times, when there's employment and when employers have workers and they got payrolls, you are paying taxes then to build up the fund so that when there is a downturn and when there are layoffs and when there are hard times for businesses, they don't need to increase their taxes, but the funds are there to be able to pay the uninsurance benefits. Unfortunately, we went the other way. And in good times, we cut taxes for, in some cases, to zero for quite a while for employers. And then when the economic downturns occurred in the 2000s and the most recent one, we didn't have the resources to pay the benefits. And so we had to, like a lot of other states who were short-sighted in that way, we've had to borrow money in order to be able to pay these needed unemployment benefits. And so we've now got to get out from under this debt. But we hope at the same time, which is the big issue, how do we establish a forward finance system so that when times are hard, we're not having to tax or borrow money, but we really build up the fund so it's there to be used.
So they're really two big issues. Well, I guess three, really. But the two big ones you just mentioned, one is how to deal with the debt now and how to stop it from happening again. There's obviously the employer community that is not wild about paying a higher employment tax. How should we solve those two problems?
I think for the trust fund, the best way to solve it is if we can get back to a place where we have more jobs and more people are being hired and there's more payroll, that's going to help the trust fund. In the meantime, there's going to have to be some more than likely taxes being raised. We have to figure out how to do that in the most equitable way. We have looked at the system, and the Justice Center will be doing a report on this and releasing it in probably a month to 2 months. But what we understand is there's some employers who pay no taxes, and that doesn't seem to be a very good system because everyone will benefit from it at some point. Also, some of the rate structures are not adequate and don't seem fair, and so we ought to be looking at those. There's all manner of discussions, and I think it's going to take a close look of whether bonds could help, whether you can get a better rate by borrowing money from some other source rather than the federal government. And I think all things ought to be on the table to look at. The one thing that we've heard some rumors about is that we need to cut benefits or we need to cut eligibility or the length of time. And we think that will be a small part of trying to get the trust fund solvent. And in the meantime, will really hurt workers, but also hurt the economy because those unemployment benefits, when they're paid out, those families go and spend it in their community and in those economies. It's short-sighted to cut those benefits for those families. One, you can throw a lot of people into crisis, but at the same time, you're taking money out of those hard-hit communities right now. Landlords won't get paid. Utility companies don't get paid. Grocery stores will have less money coming in. So we're hoping that we look at the data and what the reasonable solutions would be and not just say, let's cut benefits for people.
I'm sure that you've heard some of the rhetoric from some folks who aren't wild about the current system, trying to claim that if we keep increasing unemployment benefits or if we have the benefit levels we have now, that it actually discourages people from looking for work. And how do you sort of respond to those views?
Well, I think you have to look at the numbers. And the average unemployment weekly check is $290 a week. And I would defy anyone to say $290 a week means that I'm going to stay home and not look for work or want to go work. That's about, I think, 2 weeks of groceries for a family of four, so it's not very much money. And the other thing that gets missed is we've got four or five workers for every available job. I mean, so the really what we need to look at is we have lost a tremendous number of jobs in the last few years, and that's the problem. I mean, that we have to be clear, that's a problem, and whether you reduce benefits drastically, reduce eligibility drastically, you can't make people go to a job when there isn't a job. So I think it's a misconception that unemployment is a tremendous benefit that you get. $290 a week isn't very much. And if you go back and look at the data when we had better, and back in the 90s, when unemployment was relatively low, around 4 or 5%, North Carolina led the country in people being on unemployment the least amount of time, sometimes 7, 8, 9 weeks. We don't think that workforce or North Carolinians have changed drastically or the system has changed. It hasn't. What's changed is the economy and less jobs out there right now. And so I think we need to understand that dynamic and not get caught up in rhetoric that unemployment benefits mean people don't want to go to work, because that's never been the case for North Carolina workers.
Obviously, we cut taxes, looks like, too much at one time, but nobody could have foreseen the economic downturn. I think no projection, even as it was beginning, thought that it would be this long, this deep, and this many people would be out of work.
That's right. And I think when it was going on in the 90s, nobody could have seen what was about to occur. And there's been several recessions that we really haven't recovered from, and that there have been some pieces put in place about forward financing around triggers for taxes and to make sure the trust fund levels, when they go below a certain point, we try to raise that money. The problem was, once those recessions hit and you didn't raise taxes then, or you didn't try to get out of it, it just dug the hole deeper and deeper and deeper until we're to the point right now. So it's hard to know in 1995 or so what 2008 was going to be, and probably one of the biggest downturns since the Great Depression. But we do have those lessons now, and that's what we're hoping we learn from those lessons and establish the system so it will be able to sustain itself through another economic downturn.
Well, let's hope the legislators are paying attention. Bill, thanks a lot for what you're doing. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you.
Up next, the Evidence for Early Childhood Program. Stay tuned.